Welcome back to another episode of From the Point by your favorite point, presented by Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry. And we also, as you can see by the mics, got a new partner brand that we also like showing the show on, Bleacher Report. Thank y'all for obviously allowing us to be a part of the brand, and appreciate y'all wanting to be a part of our brand. So appreciate everybody. Obviously got my boy Winston again. You good, my brother?
What up, guys? I'm all good, man. Super exciting, man. We're so thankful for Bleacher Report. This is a super exciting partnership. We're really excited to bring you guys some of the stuff we've been working on. But yeah, we're ready to go. We're ready to dive into it. You know, Trey, I know it's been a while since we recorded. Last episode dropped with Lou Williams, but congratulations, bro, on the birth of your second child, Teal yeah. Dove. Dad of two now, man. What's it like having all them kids in the house?
All them kids, it's not crazy amount right now. Who knows how many I'll eventually have. But I mean, it's a blessing, bro. I mean, having Titus was, an unreal blessing. But now having Teal, it's even another special blessing. I mean, I had a little sister, so to see that kind of style already be resembling is really cool. I have two little sisters, so, but it's cool. I mean, Teal is beautiful, man.
Man, so walk me through, man. I don't have any kids, but first week home with Titus or first week home with Teal? Like, who's up crying more? Who's the more chill baby?
It's crazy because they're both similar. They're like, I don't want to jinx myself, but they've both been really good as far as sleeping, not crying as much. Maybe I just got super lucky with that. I haven't had any headaches with my kids. So
that's good, man. And Titus, man, he's in the studio with us today. Super, super excited, man. He's over there watching on his little iPad and everything. But, how about this? In fact, I think we got a clip of Titus, man. He's getting into basketball, man. How's that?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. He has his little basketball goal in his house that he messes with, and I always bring my little basketballs around the house too. He tries to take it and run around and throw it to my dogs with it too. So it's cool because he knows what a basketball is and what a hoop is, but he can't do anything right now with it. But eventually, I know he will be. So it's really cool to see.
Man, future point guard, man. And the fist bumps are hilarious, man.
But, oh, yeah. He'll give anybody a high five fist bump.
And will not leave until he gives everyone a fist bump.
Oh, yeah. No, that's his mom teaching him that.
Yeah, for sure. So we can jump right into it, man. I think one of the most exciting things over the weekend was the in-season tournament. Congratulations to the Lakers. But it's been interesting to see the reactions that you guys have given as in players overall around the league, their opinions about the in-season tournament. Kevin Durant even said, the intensities of these games has been incredible. I wasn't a fan at first, but now I'm a huge fan of the in-season tournament. What are your thoughts on the in-season tournament? What do you think now that it's over with for this year? What were your overall thoughts?
I mean, I think it turned out great for the league. I mean, having the Lakers win it all is always going to be great for the league. I mean, a lot of people watch the Lakers and support. I mean, that's a big brand. So them winning the first one is obviously great for the league and great for the in-season tournament. I think it was great for the whole league. I mean, in general, just from the competitive aspect. I mean, you can tell just a different intensity level just from those games to regular season games early on. And you could definitely feel the difference. And I think the league did a great job of like making it a different feel and different vibe. I mean, the courts were different. Some were better than others, but I think they did a good job making it a cool vibe and making a lot of people really interested in it.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of courts, man, I saw Atlanta had that icy blue court. Man, yeah. that was so nice. What were your thoughts on the championship court? I know you didn't get to play on that court.
It was cool. I mean, it was cool. It's cool to watch, cool to see. I mean, I wish we could have won on ours, but it was cool to see like the different themes. I mean, the championship court was clean, but just there's a lot of really cool courts. I mean, Minnesota had a really cool one. It's a couple cool ones. I know we played Detroit. They had a cool one too.
Speaking of players' opinions on things too, I know originally, like during media day and stuff, they were showing guys the courts, and there were some pretty funny clips. Man, what were as a player, what was it like? I mean, I don't know. Had you ever played on like a purple court before or a blue court? And like, did that have anything to do with your game? Like, did you feel like your depth perception was off? Like,
nah, you don't really, it don't really make no difference. I mean, it's cool for the fan, from the fan aspect, but like once you get, cause you're on the court a little bit before warming up and stuff. And once you can see where the lines are and you can kind of really tell anyways, cause the seats and the way the arena is set up. So, but no, it's not really too much of a difference. It's really more from the visual, from the fan aspect, and which makes it cool for the players too, because you get cool jerseys and cool things like that to match it. So, I mean, it works hand in hand.
So, in other words, if you can hoop, you can hoop. It don't matter.
Yeah, that's basically.
But if you can't hoop, like it doesn't help you either.
Yeah, it don't make no difference.
So the it was interesting. It was pretty public that the Pacers actually had the lowest payroll in the league, and then making it to the finals, they got incredible financial incentives of like just making it that way.
Yeah.
Man, talk about that. You can talk about whether it was the opinions in the Hawks locker room or just overall talking with your peers in the league, but that was real money that was on the line for the in-season tournament, as in, you know, some incentive to get you guys going and stuff. What were your initial thoughts on that, and how do you think those potentially changed as the season kind of went on?
No, I think that was good. I mean, they added prize money for the in-season tournament. Like, I think that was what was going to really draw a lot of teams and making them fully buy in. Because it's not just, I mean, because you heard from LeBron talk about it. Like, I mean, it's not just about the high guys who make a lot of money. It's about really now you're competing with your brothers even more. Now you got the bench maybe even more involved and engaged in the game and things like that, because they know if they win, they get to eat too. So I think it really engages more of a team aspect too in that way. So it can be a positive like that. I don't see really any cons when it comes to the prize money. So I think that's really good for the league and what they did.
Is 500 enough? 500,000, or you think it needs to be more if you win?
Nah, 500. 500 is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, 500 is a lot of money. So, you've seen if Bron can go out there and play hard and do all that for 500, what other player can't? So, that's kind of what it is.
So, I know throughout there was some debate whenever kind of the wild card and the knockout stages were starting about the point differential. Like, there were a couple teams that were like in the fringe, you know, kind of in the hunt for making it to the knockout run and stuff. What were your thoughts on the point differential, and going into next year, would there be any recommendations that you would have to potentially change that? To be honest, I wasn't super well versed on it. Like, it was a little confusing to me. I know there are some leagues in Europe that kind of have the same thing when it comes to like Champions League and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, talk to that thought process.
I don't think you should feel one way about it. The other, I think, part of it. Like, I know some guys get mad. Me personally, I wouldn't have gotten mad. I think it's part of it. It's part of the game. Like, it's a different criteria for a different circumstance. Like, it's not like a regular game. And if you get your head beat in, like, sometimes you just gotta take it. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's just part of the game. Like, so I, to be honest with you, I'm not really mad about it. I don't really get offended seeing it. If it was happening to us, I think the Cavs were trying to do it to us. I didn't feel a certain way about it. I think they were trying to get in, and we were already out, and they were just trying to get in. So I don't think it's any disrespect. I think it's a different circumstance and a different criteria is what was needed in certain games.
Trey, I don't know if you saw, but there was this clip that was kind of going viral a little bit.
I came in the green room and I told Kenny, I said, Kenny, Trey is the real deal. Question. You remind me of...
So is Tyrese.
Tyrese, excuse me. You remind me of... Ernie, it ain't me. It's that damn cannabis behind me.
Yeah. No, that's hilarious, bro.
Shout out Shaq,
man. Shout out Shaq.
The cannabis reference behind him for a misspeak is great.
But that's just part of it. You forgot. That ain't no shade towards Tyrese. He's a hooper.
At all. I totally agree. I think I took that as a compliment to you, to be honest. Is like y'all both are balling at this point.
Yeah, we both hoopers. Just because he's there and I'm not don't mean people ain't thinking about me.
Now that the in-season tournament is kind of wrapped up, What were your overall thoughts? I know we saw some players emerge. Speaking of Tyrese, had a hell of an in-season tournament. It's been playing really well this season, but any surprises to you throughout the in-season tournament?
Man, I mean, obviously there's not like, it's like an NCAA tournament type of vibe. Like, it was really taking it one game at a time, and whoever gets hot can win it all. And I mean, the Pacers went on a hell of a run. Tyrese was balling, scoring, getting everybody involved. I mean, it was crazy to see. Buddy was killing for him, Miles Turner. They had a lot of guys who played well. Nesmith, playing the way he played defense on Giannis, and even Bron on certain moments. Those last couple of games was crazy to see. So, I mean, the Pacers obviously made a name for themselves and gave themselves a little bit of feel of what a playoff environment would be like, especially those games versus the Celtics and the Bucks. But really the Celtics. So I think it was just a good experience. A lot of teams can learn from things. We can learn from things. And next year, I'm sure Adam Silver will add some new things that'll make it even more cool. And it'll get even better next year.
Yeah, pivoting to the Lakers, like I said, congratulations to them. But how do you think that expectations, now that they've won the in-season tournament, have changed now that, you know, we're going into All-Star break soon and, you know, going into the playoffs? Do you think that winning that in-season tournament gives them a different type of pressure, or?
Maybe from the outside looking in, I think anytime you play for the Lakers, you're going to have pressure on you just in general. So I don't think they necessarily feel that when you win an in-season tournament that they're going to have more pressure on them. I think they already feel that they have pressure on them every night they play. And that's how you should feel if you play for that organization. So I don't know how they feel. I know as a competitor playing against them, I think we still look at them like they're the Lakers, and we just got to – I mean, when we play them, it's like another game. We gotta play them. We know it's a different environment in there, and whenever they come there to your place, it's a different environment. So, but they're still the Lakers, though.
Yeah, man. Speaking of the y'all's place and all that, I think it's a great way to transition to the Hawks season. We haven't recorded since you guys started. So, overall, man, I know you guys are just getting started, but how you feel about the season so far and what you guys are building and. Oh, out there in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we got off to an okay start. It was tough after really Jalen went down. I don't know what our record was before he went down, but I know we haven't really won too many games since he's been out, and he's a big piece that we're missing. We're already, a kind of young team, not very experienced team after a couple guys, but and Jalen was playing like the most improved player for us, and not only us, but just killing the whole league every night he played. So having him out, I mean, kind of hurts us in a couple ways. But I think we're still learning. We still have a long season to go. We started off worse. I've been in worse circumstances and finished great. So it's really about just finding a good streak of wins and finding a place where we can build off some wins and learn off some wins, and also getting some guys healthy and getting them back, and then I feel like we'll be good.
Yeah, speaking of Jalen Johnson, I think he, like you said, definitely a candidate for most improved. What have you been most surprised about with his progression from last year to this year, and then what are you looking forward to him providing you guys' group and ball club?
There's a lot Jalen's done different. But for me, I think from what I see is his confidence. And obviously your confidence always grows as you play more and you get more minutes and more experience. And so he's obviously getting a lot more of that this year, and you're seeing the confidence grow every game that he plays. But just from shooting the ball, when he gets the ball, pushing it, he doesn't make too many mistakes. And that's something that's really good. So I just love playing with a guy that's smart. But he still has a lot of room to grow, and he knows that, and he's so open-eyed and wide-eared that he's willing to listen to people around him that's going to help him get better too. So he definitely has a bright future.
I know we're early on in the season, but with Jalen Johnson, a healthy Hawks team, where do you think you guys pan out in the East this year?
We have a chance. The last 2 years has been some crazy runs in the East. Teams going to the championship as 8 seeds, and it's all about just being hot at the right moment. So like it's hard to really judge where we'll be, but I feel like our potential, we can beat anybody if we're fully healthy and we're at the right mindset and we're clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all can definitely beat anybody, especially if you drop in people like you did in this clip.
Oh.
Yeah, y'all beating anybody if y'all do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
I haven't done anybody like that before, dropping somebody like that. What's it like to drop somebody like that?
Man, bro, it's like a, I don't know, a feeling, man. It's like, you know, it's like.
No, I do not know. Don't do that, because that's not truthful at all.
It's like, I don't know. It's just a feeling you have, and it's like an adrenaline rush. And
why would you say you know? That seemed like a.
Nah, because I'm sure like you probably had like a little cousin or somebody you was messing around with. And
oh, okay. I thought you were implying that you dropped me before, and I was about to say nah.
I definitely have you in the clip, though.
No. What clip? Exactly, no.
I think we can find a clip. Every
putting it on the record that Trey Young has never, N-E-V-E-R, dropped me.
Dropped you?
Never.
Or are you in a clip?
No, not in a clip neither.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Not in the clip neither. Do you have it on your phone by any chance?
No.
Okay.
I switch phones. But I can find this clip though.
I'm glad you made the shot though, because I think this year in particular, there's been an offensive explosion around the league. Teams have become incredibly efficient in their offense. If I'm not mistaken, there are four teams right now that are averaging higher than 120 points. Mm-hmm. You guys, the Atlanta Hawks, Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks, and the 76ers. Has there been a certain person in the league that has kind of helped drive that offensive explosion this year? Whether it be current guys or whether it be guys who have just, you know, helped change the game just in general. And why do you think that this year in particular, the offensive around the league has not only been incredibly efficient, but also scoring a lot of points?
I mean, I think it's a lot of different cases. I mean, a lot of different reasons that, I mean, teams are scoring at a high clip. I think first reason, the Warriors and what they've done since they're the start of their dynasty, and they really had the best offense for a lot of years and won a lot of championships. Then you got like nowadays, you got last year, you got the Sacramento Kings, I think breaking a record and having points per game. And just their offense and how firepower they were. And then, like, you just have a lot of young guards that come in just ready to play. Like, ever since really my drafts with me and Luka, like, ever since then, it's like guards coming out every year. It's like ready to go from day one or put on to go from day one. It's like, I mean, guards are ready. And then you got the Pacers. I mean, their coach... Two of their coaches coached me and Luka. I mean, and our offenses have always been great. So it's like offenses in the game is, I mean, it's perennial. Like you need to have really good offense, but the best teams have both. Like the best teams have really good offenses and a really good defense. And I think that's what makes a difference between a great team and just an okay team.
Yeah, and what would you say to the critics that say that this offensive explosion in the NBA is due to a lack of defense?
That's lame. That's lame excuse. I think that's just because the talent level is so crazy. Like what guys are capable of doing, and just the cerebral ability of some of these guys that also have talent and God-given length and I mean size on them. Like it's tough to guard these guys when they're smart. I mean, with the talent that they're given. So I think the talent today is also a reason why the offenses are so high and scoring so high.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like you said, lame. I think lazy is probably another word in that. I think that saying that all the offensive explosion is due to a lack of defense actually isn't giving offensive schemes, offensive players enough credit that they actually do. I mean, you've seen Golden State, for example. If you just watch some of their possessions, like they'll track the way Steph runs around and he's running, you know, couple hundred feet in a single possession. Mm-hmm. Like that's all type of schemes and
for things. Sure.
Yeah.
And it's and also like it's hard to for a team like the Pacers or a team like us that are going to score 125, 130 points to keep a team to 105 or 106 a night, because then you're beating teams by 30. Like, it may be we may not be the number one defense, so we may be 10 to 15, but that's better than being, you know, 25 to 30, you know, yep, what I'm saying? So I think that's where it can get kind of lopsided too, because really good offenses, you obviously have more possessions,
exactly,
that you're giving the other team too, so they're going to naturally score some.
Yeah, so, exactly. You know, I think you're a natural born scorer anyways, and I'd say you have a pretty deep bag of tricks when it comes to scoring the ball, man. I've witnessed it for a couple years now, but I actually have a few tweets that we can go through, and this is actually, yeah, something new that we're going to be starting on From the Point. We encourage all our audience members to send in some tweets, comment on our YouTube channel, use the BR app to send in some tweets. We're actually going to be answering a few questions each episode, but I have a couple here. First up, overall, who's the funniest player in the NBA?
Funniest player in the NBA? To me, it's Jokic. To me, it's Jokic.
Really? Why?
He's hilarious. Like, just some of the stuff, like, you see some of the stuff he does in his, like, in his post game, in his interviews or whatever, like, just being, like, like, in games with him, interacting, little moments, and all-star, behind-the-scenes little moments. It's like, he's funny.
Can you imitate one of his reactions?
You can't imitate it. I remember being in Charlotte one year. I think we did the skills challenge together, and we were just in the back, and he was just making everybody laugh. Like, he's just hilarious.
He is hilarious, though. His game is great, but, man, that dude's a comedian for, yeah, sure. Folks say you still don't play defense, though. Somebody actually wrote in and said, folks still saying Trae Young doesn't play defense. Right here, you can see you actually have a game-saving charge,
yeah,
to win the Spurs game.
Yeah.
What's,
yeah,
your thoughts on not playing defense?
I mean, you can't say that this year. It's been my best year playing defense. I mean, that's just a fact. You can hate all you want. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, taking charges, just being there for my teammates. Obviously, we can all be better. I can be better on that end. Still, we haven't won enough games for me to say I'm first team or anything, but definitely getting better. But definitely been a thing on my mind.
And what do you think moving forward has allowed you to not only continue to get better at defense, but as you guys go throughout the season, not only for you to continue to be solid defensively, but your entire team to continue to improve?
I think my coach helps me a lot in just putting me in spots and places and just telling me where to be before I'm put in spots where I can't really help myself. I mean, I'm already at like a disadvantage in a lot of ways. So just being, knowing where to be early before the offense gets there is important too. So my coach helps me a lot with that.
For sure. As of today, what's the biggest NBA rivalry in the NBA?
Today, what's the biggest NBA rivalry?
You go first, because I have my own take on this.
Okay, you go first, because I'll need a second.
I would say, based off of last year, it's probably not the biggest, but I think it's one of the most exciting rivalries is Kings-Warriors. I think it would be great to see another playoff series like that. I think at every position on the court, they have a great matchup at all times. So I think I think the Kings Warriors is a good one. I think there are some more
Kings Warriors. I think, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, Fox and that's a good Kings Warriors, man. I don't really, you don't see really teams hating each other like that. I mean, you see Steph and that Warriors and Kings being that, but I don't know. Either that or there ain't no really rivalry no more.
Why do you think it's not like it used to be in terms of like rivalries?
It's because these refs don't let nobody show emotion. And as far as just like, you can't say nothing to nobody. As far as not even, it ain't even got to be egregious or nothing. It can be dunking on somebody and just giving them a look like it's a tech. Like, that is the craziest thing to me. Like, just from growing up watching guys, guys used to be able to dunk and yell. Like, it's different. It's different. Like, that's how you build rivalries. Mm-hmm. When you're talking, you getting scored on and you, like, going back and forth. And then it's different if guys getting face-to-face. Then you can call it tech and
right.
break them up. But guys just talking, like, even my first couple of years in the league, it was different than how it is now. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, it's crazy. I think the refs don't allow it us to have really NBA rivalries anymore. Yeah. For
that's fair. I think that's a fair take. Who do you think is the most explosive athlete in NBA history?
Oh, most explosive athlete in NBA history? There's a lot. Dang, most explosive. I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Russ. I mean, just from what I mean, explosive, like just off the run, dribble, like off one, off two. D Rose could jump off two. I didn't necessarily see him jump off one all the time, but D Rose, they come to mind. Like, I don't know, them two. Probably Russ.
I remember being at Oklahoma City games when we were growing up together. And man, Russ would get going on the break, man. And
it was over with. You better get out the way. You better get out the way.
It was over with. It was over with. Yeah, I think, like you said, D Rose, throw LeBron in there, Vince Carter.
Vince, VC. VC was explosive.
Yeah, those are a couple.
I remember seeing VC in practice. He's 40 years old. Like,
windmilling, bro.
Windmill. Like, it was the lightest windmill I've ever seen. Like, I thought he was ridiculous. So maybe him too. But Russ, as far as what I was seeing, vision. Yeah.
Trey, what's your opinion on what if Trae Young never got hurt in game 3 of the 2021 Eastern Conference Finals?
Man, that's a great question. What if? I mean, to be honest with you, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, you ain't got. We definitely would have.
Yeah.
We would have won our first chip.
That year for sure.
I don't even want to talk about it. Because it's so hard to get back to that moment. It's like you just fight that feeling that you had your chance. But I know we're going to have another one. That's been my biggest goal, is just to bring Atlanta their first ring. So that's going to happen again. But yeah, getting hurt was not the best feeling, because I definitely felt like we had a chance and we were on a run and we were feeling good. Guys were going, and that shit happened.
And people don't understand how difficult it is to make it that far in the playoffs. How difficult is it actually to make it that far in the playoffs?
Just think about it. Like, we had to play. We were the 5th seed, so we had to play the 4th seed on the road to start it out. Went 5 games. Second round, we played Philly, who was the number 1 seed at the time. We had to go to their place first, and that ended up going 7 games. So we won at their place at 7. And then that's just to get to the conference finals. Like, and then now we play in the Bucks, who were, I think, the 2nd seed at the time. And we ended up going 6 and just fell short. But that just shows how hard it is. You give respect to the guys who do it over and over again or just get there. And you don't necessarily throw shade at the guys who necessarily can't. And because there's a lot of guys who are still playing who are, I mean, get a lot of love and a lot of praise who don't necessarily get to even the conference finals. So you don't necessarily throw shade on them when they don't. As a player who's been there, I'm not speaking for the general fan, but just as a player who's been there, you don't necessarily throw shade on those guys because you understand how hard it is. But it definitely sucks, because I definitely feel we had a chance.
For sure. Man, first episode in the books with Bleacher Report, man. How you feel?
Man, I feel amazing. I feel great.
I think that wraps us up, man.
Well, first episode with Bleacher Report. Another episode of From the Point by your favorite point. Till next time.
You're going to be able to find From the Point on Bleacher Report all season long. Make sure you tune in on the BR app. And yeah.
Peace.
Peace.